This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Our last podcast for today on Boxing Day is Victorian Police Chief Commissioner at the time, Graham Ashton. He discusses also the outcome of the IBAC investigation into the police handling of the raid. And again, this is another very, very interesting discussion. So I hope you enjoy it. And thank you for being a Joy listener and a Joy member, if you are. Thank you. You are on Saturday Magazine, Macca and Tass. I want to welcome Chief Commissioner of Victoria Police, Graham Ashton, to the show. He's on the phone. Good morning, Graham. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Macca.
That's good. Now, I want to start off with something.
Great to have you back on the airwaves, Graham.
It is. I wanted to start off with something light. I wanted to thank you for that wonderful comment you made a few weeks ago about it's not a criminal offence to be a dickhead.
And oh, yeah.
I thought that was fantastic. And it actually hit the nail right on the head. And I think I said to your colleague, Shane Patton, last week when we were talking about COVID-19 and stuff, I said, they say you can't fix stupid, but it turns out you can't quarantine it either. So there you go.
Yeah, that's a pretty fair comment. We've certainly seen a bit of it, haven't we, in the last... We have.
And look, we might come back to COVID-19 if we have time at the end. Look, I want to thank you for coming on. The Independent Broad-Based Commission Against Corruption has delivered its report on the critical incident, Victoria Police Critical Incident Response Team to Hares and Hyenas, in which was almost a year ago, May 2019. Look, my view, Graham, is this is a horrendous industry that Nick Demopoulos incurred. IBAC says that your officers did not use excessive force. They did say that they didn't comply with the Human Rights Charter. First off, what do you take from the IBAC foundings? And tell us, what to you are the key points of that finding, first off?
Yeah, sure, Marcus. So I guess firstly it's good that the report is out, because it's been a little while now. Everyone's been in a state of flux. Everyone that's had a deep connection with us has been in a state of flux for some months. So firstly, it's good that, it's an independent body, IBAC, and they have released a report and done a thorough investigation of it, in that it has taken that 11 months. And for us, we felt at the time, talking to the officers and looking at what had happened, that it wasn't something that in any way was representative of any homophobic activity or anything deeper like that. It was an operational response that they wound up at the door and thought that this offender had gone in, and that subsequently it was found that was a mistaken belief, but an honestly held belief nonetheless, and they've gone in thinking that anyone inside may have been subjected to some offending by this offender, and they've gone in. I think that the takeaways were that we felt that it was, that was the motivations of the officers going in. I think that's been borne out in that report, and it was obviously deeply regrettable and a terrible incident in terms of the injuries that this person sustained, and we certainly apologised for that at the time and have continued to do that. and that the injuries have occurred in relation to the struggle at the time of arrest, and that's deeply regrettable that anyone's injured in that situation, be it someone that's being arrested or the police officers for that matter. Indeed, Whiteback have recommended, basically, or requested a lot of information from me as the Chief Commissioner into the critical incident response team, and so I'll go away and have a look at that and try and provide all the material that's been requested, so that IBAC, who have flagged an interest in wanting to look at the activities in the critical incident response team more deeply, so we'll provide them with everything they need to do that. Just on the element of the human rights breach, they found that this person should have been told more explicitly they were under arrest, and when they were unarrested, more explicitly, and that's consistent with the Human Rights Charter. So we'll understand that more closely by talking to the IBAC investigators. Because normally we do operate on the case law, where it's if it is obvious to someone they're under arrest, then sometimes we don't tell them. But we'll have to look at that and understand that, and if it's necessary, we'll certainly make the changes to our policies to reflect that that's done properly. So a lot of takeaways, really, thank you.
Can I just ask quickly there, Graeme, you said, you know, if someone is under arrest, and correct me if I'm wrong, you don't necessarily tell them, is that what you...
Well, we tell them when they're under arrest, Mac, as a normal course, yeah, absolutely, that's in our policies. But there are times when it might be completely obvious to someone they are under arrest, when it's not held as being completely necessary to tell them when it is obvious they are. So we just have to look at that more closely. I'm not saying that... this is one of those occasions, and certainly IBAC have said he should have been told. So we'll just, okay. And if that's the case, then we'll deal with that. But I'll certainly seek to understand more about it from IBAC, so we can understand exactly how they want that to run.
Good, Graeme, it's Tess here. You can understand that our members of our community or the LGBTI communities are quite upset about this, and... from what I could see, have expressed some concerns about the IBAC findings. Put that to aside, as the head of the Victorian Police Force, what can our community expect to be different from here on? What changes do you think that you'll be making to improve that relationship and that confidence level in our community with the Victorian Police?
Well, I wrote earlier in the week as a document that I spoke to Ro Allen about as the commissioner, and I spoke to her and said we could, and you know, Ro was certainly supportive of this, of sort of writing a document that sort of set out what we are doing with community and how we are supporting community, and I released that earlier in the week, and that was really trying to point out that we've done a lot in the last 20 years to try and build this relationship, and when incidents occur, and some of them are very unfortunate incidents, it's important to look at them in the broader context of that relationship. And this was a deeply regrettable injury that occurred to this person, and certainly we don't want it to impact the longer-term relationship, which is why we asked and certainly participated in under IBAC's independent investigation, because we wanted it to be findings that were independent of us and that the community could have confidence in. So I don't know, I guess it's up to people whether they will have confidence in it. But at the time there were quite a lot of people calling for that independent investigation, and we fully supported that and participated in it. And these are the outcomes on it. But it's a long-term relationship, and it has to be. Look, we've got nearly 4,000 employees who are police officers who are from community as well. So, you know, we're deeply embedded in community ourselves. So we're not about trying to do anything intentionally that's going to harm that relationship, and we want to continue to build it.
Graeme, that's very comforting to hear that. If any of our listeners this morning wish to review this document, is it publicly available? And if so, where can they find it?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's on the IBAC website, their report, and they furnished me with a copy of that when it was released, so I've got a copy as well. And that's publicly available for anyone to have a look at. But I would stress it is it's an investigation that wasn't done by Victoria Police or anything connected to us. It was completely independent, and we'll obviously abide by the recommendations in it, follow up on them all.
Yes, of course, Graham. The document I'm referring to is the one that you mentioned that you had drafted with Roe Allen.
Certainly.
That's available through our social media, and I made it available to Roe Allen, who I'm sure can make that available also to the broader community without any issues at all. That's certainly a public document. Look, it talks a bit about our history and what we've done together. And this relationship only works if it's done together with mutual trust, and we've got to work all the time to try and maintain that trust no matter what you know, bumps come along in the road of that relationship.
I wanted to say, Graham,
we'll certainly track that down.
It's Macca again. You know, Graham, the challenge here is that you know, I accept that IBAC has made its report, and you know, I wasn't there on the night. You weren't there on the night. You know, the officers were, and some guys from Hares and Hyenas and Nick Demopoulos. It's the extent of the injury, more not just how it happened, but the extent of the injury. And two separate surgeons said to me, the extent of this injury indicated to them almost deadly force. Now, IBAC says that's not excessive. These surgeons said, well, you heard what I just said, what they'd said to me. It seems to me, I think it was, they didn't say you were arrested, they didn't say why, and they pulled the guy's arm out of, you know, out of his shoulder socket. I'm having trouble rationalising that. I say to you, Graham, what do you say to Nick Demopoulos? You know, he might be listening, I don't know, but what do you say to him about what happened that night?
Well, we regretted the injuries that he sustained, and we've apologised for it, and we're sorry that that occurred to him. It occurred, as I back and found, it occurred in the course of a violent struggle during his arrest, and the force that was used by the officers in trying to make that arrest was proportionate in that struggle. And so this injury has occurred, and it's, as I said, it's you don't want to see anyone injured. So in such a circumstance, no one does. Certainly the police officers don't. And it's you know, it's something that is deeply regrettable. I mean, I don't know. You know, I haven't spoken to any doctors or surgeons about the actual extent of the injury. I can only really go on the IBAC who have assessed it. But I, you know, certainly injuries are extensive. There's no doubt about that, and which just makes it all the more regrettable.
Okay. Now, IBAC has asked for yourself to get back to them, particularly with the obligations under the Human Rights Charter. And also, it says in the Victoria Police take appropriate action with respect to the officers. What does that... I know what it means with getting back to them with regard to the Human Rights Charter and those issues. In terms of and take appropriate action with respect to the officers, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's what I've got to find out a bit more about, Macca, because we've got to sit down. Our Professional Standards Command will have to sit down with IBAC and get to the nub of where... they feel any concerns need to be, because obviously if any discipline regulations have been breached, then that's something that we can deal with in terms of our discipline action. But it's a matter of understanding in a more detailed way. The report itself is only about 7 or 8 pages, so it didn't go into a lot of detail around that. So we've just got to know what the detail is that sits under it, and if it's necessary, of course we'll take necessary action if there have been breaches.
Okay. Look, I know it's been an awful issue for everyone involved, Graham. And you know, I'm pretty angry about when it happened. I'm pretty angry that IBAC took almost a year to do this, to come up with this outcome. I note that it takes them a year to do that, yet they only give you 2 months to get back to them with what you're going to do. So they obviously work to a different timetable. You know, they take 12 months to investigate it, but they give you 2 months to work about what are you going to do to bring about, you know, a change to the framework. Because they obviously criticise the framework and they make some comments there. I'd like, I know you always make yourself available, but when you've actually made some decisions about those questions IBAC have asked you to get back to them, and when it's appropriate, I'd really appreciate them sharing with us, because I think the community wants to know what is being put in place post this.
Yeah, that's perfectly understandable. I'm certainly happy to come back on and run through all that with you, hopefully in the studio at better times, to be able to come in and take your advice through that, for sure.
And we'll look forward to actually tracking down this document that you've co-authored with Ro Allen. So thank you very much for that.
And before we close, Graham, COVID-19... we've all heard some of the challenges your members are facing in, and Shane Patton spoke about that last week. The social distancing rules, what's permitted and what's not. Are you seeing a change, or is people's adherence to these rules, are people being more compliant, or do you think there's a bit, you know, there seems, or is the reporting of it indicating they're not being compliant? I'm interested in your view. You look at the figures, you know what's happening every day. Are people adhering to the rules, or are they being a bit naughty?
Yeah, I do see the numbers every day, Macca. We're going through them daily meetings, and certainly overall the community have responded fantastically to the restrictions, given the amount of change that people have had to adapt to. I think it's been fantastic, the amount of cooperation that people have undertaken and taken this very, very seriously, which we've needed to. And if you look at what's happening in the US, for example, as a counterpoint, we've avoided that because the community have behaved responsibly. And obviously that needs to continue. Now, we do get, we get always examples where people do the wrong thing, and we've been busy attending a lot, even last night, but there was 30 or 40 house parties that we had to attend to break up, that people were breaching conditions. That's the continuing thing, but that is a very small minority of the population, and I think overall it's been amazing how people have adapted, considering the hardships in terms of financial hardships particularly.
Yeah.
But also the mental health issues with people. People are all social creatures, and people have had to curtail a lot of stuff that normally is important for their mental health and well-being. So, it's I think it's been terrific how people have responded, frankly, mate.
Well, as you said, Graham, I'm using your words. I know you probably don't want to say it again. It's not a criminal offence to be a dickhead. I thought that was probably the one of the funniest things and most appropriate things you'd ever said, so I thank you for it. I know you probably don't want to use it again.
It wasn't a momentary lapse.
I don't think you need to apologise. I think people got it. Look, once again, thanks for coming on. You know, we're not going to agree on the outcome of this, but I respect that you've come on and talked about it, and you will get back to us about those recommendations that IBAC made and how you implement them. I think that's really important as part of the ongoing dialogue. So I thank you for that.
No worries, mate. And I would stress that a lot of people have said, that the independence of IBAC, but they are very much an independent agency, and they certainly hold us to account all the time. So, people can, I think, have confidence in terms of it being independent.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Saturday Magazine. You just heard Graham Ashton, who at the time was Chief Commissioner of Victoria Police, and Graham discussed the outcome of the IBAC investigation and how that has led to some changes, and hopefully they get implemented, to Victoria Police.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.